Scallywags, scoundrels, rogues, and rebels, Asylum Studios is pleased to present a show that will bend your mind, scramble your morals, and ruin your good taste. This is not a show to take home to your mother, and definitely not one for the children. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chaos and Disorder.
Your ears do not deceive you, my friends. Chaos and Disorder is back for a second, count them, second week in a row.
One,
two. I'm your host with the most, the talent, Rick Flieger, joined as always by the silver-haired sloth, sobriety's mortal enemy, America's creepy uncle, Mr. Rick Briggs, and on the ones and twos, proving that fat, drunk, and stupid is in fact one way to go through life, the hipster-bearded half-wit, Rick Briggs before photo, Alejandro Finkelstein. He's got a new toy.
Yes, and thanks to
Wait a minute. I wasn't done with my stuff.
I liked his.
All right, you go ahead.
You know, I mean, we got to. Look, I got all kinds of hell because I didn't thank Andy Frampton last week.
So now you do it in
Andy
the middle of my thing.
Andy called me up and said he was going to beat me up.
Well, he should.
Yes.
But now you do it in the middle of my thing instead of putting it in the appropriate spot.
We don't care about bareasssheep.com. I mean, we're just, you know.
I mean,
oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, see? I was waiting to use that, you know. But thanks to Andy Frampton for bringing us in. You can find Andy on Twitter and Facebook at Bronco Swanson. Thanks to Rival Lovers for all the great music that we use. And find them on Twitter at Real Rival Lovers. And where else, fellas?
Let me check the sheet here.
Yeah, I forget.
Come on.
Get up, dummy.
Starts with a B.
BanjoKazooie.com.
Bandcamp.
Oh, yeah, that thing. And, of course, you can follow all of Rick's righteously indignant rants against good taste and decency on Twitter at Chaos and Disorder. You can find links to my various OnlyFans accounts on Facebook at Chaos and Disorder Pod. And, of course, to reach out and touch the show in that way, send us an email is whatsupwiththemdraws@yahoo.com.
And you can email the show for real at chaosanddisorderpod@gmail.com.
Kind of nerd would email that. Getting anything good there.
I don't know about that, but
so Rick,
you know,
I've got breaking.
You know the reason you always call them nerds is because it's always Rick Flieger criticism.
Right.
Justly so.
I disagree.
But you just don't like it.
See, it's all the Rick Briggs of maniacs who come out of the woodwork to attack me all the time, and I don't like it.
And I sure miss our late great friend Dave Cherney.
Yeah.
Who passed
away.
He
was
one of the
Briggs of maniacs. Yeah. I didn't care for that one bit. Misguided gentleman he was. A nice fella, but certainly misguided.
Yes, he was.
So, Rick, I got breaking news. I don't know if you guys have heard, but I'm given to understand that the Super Bowl was this weekend. So I think by law we have to talk about it.
I believe you're right. And we were actually going to make predictions this week.
Oh, are we going to?
Yay!
Is your button not working?
Oh, Lord. That's true.
I like it how he's going all analog now. He's just smacking on the mic boom and doing the sounders himself instead of actually pushing. So the button monkey can't even be bothered to push buttons now.
No. I have become that much of a hipster.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's
I'm pure analog.
I think maybe he's
baby.
The sloth. You know, his arm doesn't go over there quick enough.
It does look exhausting. I'll give him that. So I'll tell you what. I'm interested in this game. Most times when you come Super Bowl time, I'm more interested in nachos and cold beer. But this, there's something intriguing about this game. Maybe it's simply the fact it's not the Chiefs and it's not Tom Brady. I'm not sure. But I got a little lather for this one.
Yeah, you and me both. I think this is going to be a very interesting one. And I don't know. Just in the back of my mind, I just don't think it's going to be one of these typical games. Something tells me this thing is going to get wild before it's all said and done.
It's possible. So here's, since he's got that feel of a Team of Destiny thing, right? Don't they?
It's almost, I swear, it's almost like we talked about Joe Burrow last week on the show, you know, and, you know, the swag that he's carrying and everything. It's all, and they're not really given a chance. I know the line's only like 4, 4.5,
that's
something like that.
That's big in the Super Bowl.
You know, it's not like 18 that Joe Namath faced
right
back in the day. But
is that what the line was?
Yeah.
Is that true, or did you just completely make
that
up? No,
it was
up?
18, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and they lost, or the Jets won 16-7.
Yeah.
But I mean, you kind of get the feel. It's kind of like, you know, this kid, he, by all rights, they should get smacked, right? I mean, the Rams got the defense. They got the experienced quarterback. They got Cooper Kupp, you know.
Right.
They got a great running game. And but there's just something that tells me Cincinnati really has a great chance coming into this football game.
Well, right, and it's because when you look at this thing on paper, this thing probably shouldn't be close on paper, right? I mean, everything that Cincinnati struggles with, the Rams do really well.
Right.
Not the least of which is my assertion. I don't know if there's a prop bet for this. Maybe you can check that out, Finkelstein, but does Joe Burrow die during the game? Because Cincinnati's got a bad, bad offensive line. You know, better than Pittsburgh, but that's about where it ends. Going up against Aaron Donald and Von Miller in that defensive line.
Right.
The Rams also have the ability to. There does seem to be the ability for Jalen Ramsey to take away anyone at any time. He's the new Revis Island, and I feel like it gets talked about a lot, but I don't think enough. I mean, Revis Island, remember when we were doing the fantasy shows, it was when you were trying to come up with your sit for the week, it was find out
right.
who Revis was going to line up across from, and that's your sit, and it didn't matter who it was. Ramsey has that same thing, so he can take away Ja'Marr Chase. So really, when you think of this thing, you take Ja'Marr Chase out, Joe Burrow.
Or can he? We've yet to see it, so we don't know that.
Well, you're right, but it's a fair assumption,
sure.
I should say. And so now you're looking at Joe Burrow with no time to throw. I think Joe Mixon can get his. He can run the ball. But really, this lines up quite well for a big Rams win. However, Cincinnati – there's two things here if I'm trying to tell myself a story of how the Bengals can win this game. Number one, it's T. Higgins. All right, you can take away Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins going across the middle. Tyler Boyd, I saw a stat, he hasn't dropped the ball in like 17 years or something like that. So he can get involved in the offense like he did early in the AFC Championship game as they were trying to find their footing. And then you get T. Higgins loose. He is – more of a physical freak than Ja'Marr Chase. He doesn't maybe have all the flash and all the skill, but T. Higgins is a stud wide receiver in this league. You get him unleashed, that's number one. And number two, it's been a great run. I have been an apologist for Matt Stafford for all those years he suffered, and I start to feel a little bit vindicated in the fact that it really does appear just to be a Lions problem, but he has that ability to do something unthinkably stupid at any point in a game, and this game gets close. And a game that doesn't get, or a player that doesn't get mentioned very often, is coming from Pittsburgh into Cincinnati. Mike Hilton has a way of making big plays in big games. That's how I can tell myself the story that the Bengals can win this thing. But I'm not sure. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things stacked against Cincinnati. I mean, look. The Rams, they're built to win and win now. Obviously.
Right.
They brought in Stafford. They've given up the house, you know, to bring in Stafford, Von Miller, you know, and they've got Cam Akers running back, got him back healthy. Yeah, they lost Bobby Trees, but boy, what they did, they brought in Odell right away.
Right.
There's not going to be any.
They were like the Yankees at the trade deadline this year. I've never seen anything like it.
Exactly.
In football. I've never seen it work in football before.
But you hit on a lot of things. To tell the story of Cincinnati, that line is going to have to somehow give Burrow at least enough time to get rid of the football.
Right.
Maybe not on every design play, but just, you know, he's got to be able to at least get rid of it. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, two more keys. The defense has to just keep playing that muddling, not pretty.
Right.
We're bending all over the place, but we can make some stops when we have
creating turnovers and holding teams to field goals somehow.
They just have to do that. And again, Joe Mixon, you talk about him running. They've got to establish the run, whereas if they do fall behind, or even if it's a close game, that play action comes into – I mean, they've got to guard against Joe Mixon, because if he's averaging 0.7 yards a carry through the first half, it doesn't matter because that thing's going to be out of reach by then. He's got to be able to run.
And I think the big thing is, if Joe Burrow gets sacked nine times, like he did against Tennessee, Cincinnati loses this game by 30. They got away with it because Tennessee's offense and Ryan Tannehill stunk out the joint in that game. If they do that to the L.A. Rams, which is entirely possible because this is a better defensive line even than the Titans has, and by a lot, in my opinion, that they lose this thing
and
by
30. And there's a lot better offense than what the Titans have.
Right.
You know, no offense to King Henry, but Tannehill did not play good at all, and they had nothing going for them on offense.
No,
the Rams aren't going to do that. They're going to eat up yards, and they're going to score some points.
Cooper Kupp's going to get his.
Yep.
I got to believe OBJ makes a couple of plays. You're really just waiting to see if Stafford throws up all over himself. I really think that's what this game comes down to. It's too easy. It's a cop-out. But does Matt Stafford remember he played for 15 years for the Detroit Lions, or is he a championship quarterback? And that I don't know.
I don't either. Oh. However.
What's it saying?
I hit the wrong button. What's your prediction?
Oh, so there was a lot of buildup for the Santa thing threw me off.
It threw me off too.
So as I'm wont to do, Rick, I sat here and gave you 100 reasons why the Cincinnati Bengals can win this game and maybe should win this game. And as I'm wont to do, I'm therefore going to predict that the Rams win this game, and I don't think it's all that close. I've got my L.A. Rams, who I predicted to win this thing back in April, if you'll recall, 30-16.
So you're actually predicting that they bring back the very first Lombardi Trophy to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I'm torn on this one. Because I hate Los Angeles and everything it stands for. I really do. Not my Philadelphia, New Jersey level of hatred, but I really don't like L.A. But when I look at the Rams, here's how dumb I am. Number one, you know, you and I have screamed at each other into these microphones for 10 years now about Matt Stafford. So I now feel some type of ownership for the success of Matt Stafford. Aaron Donald, Pitt guy, Rams colors, Pitt colors, I can watch them have enough cognitive dissonance to think, I'm watching Pitt, go Rams, I'm a Rams fan.
Not to mention the joint on the helmet.
Yeah, and there's a wiener on the helmet of the Bears, or the Bears.
The
Jesus.
Bears, yes.
That's
right.
Another joke, we'll get into that later, of the Rams. Why did I say the Bears?
I don't know.
Apparently when I think of wieners, I think of the Bears. I'll be damned.
That's something.
Can we name this show Wiener on the Helmet?
Sure.
I think we're going to. Let me get my pen.
It's kind of out of context, though. I hopefully we come up with something a little bit better.
Wiener helmet?
No. See, that's, I mean, a good just one. Yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I told you right when we started. You know, Von Miller. You know, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp. You know, OBJ. Just so many weapons, and on both sides of the football with the Rams. And, you know, if they won 34-10, it wouldn't surprise me. However.
It's what we do. We argue against ourselves.
I am not going to jump off the Burrow train yet.
The Burrow train.
I am going to ride it till it crashes. I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals, 27, Los Angeles Rams, 25 in the Super Bowl.
You know what pisses me off? Well, a lot of things piss me off. I actually have a whole
waking up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I actually have a whole segment for that later. I don't know why, as a Steeler fan, I have a hard time hating this Bengals team. There's something likable about Joe Burrow. He's such a douche in walking around in the cigars and that. You know how I like cocky people like that.
But
Chase is exciting. Higgins is – they're a fun team.
It's not a hateable team because there's really not a rivalry between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's beaten their brains out for years and years and years, and Baltimore has too.
Yeah, and now this year, apparently that's just switched completely because I believe in the two games between Pittsburgh and Cincy.
It was like 406.
It was 842-3 between the two games. So maybe that's it. Maybe they're just
– yeah.
But they're a likable team, and
they
I don't
are.
Like it. I'm not going to be disappointed as a lifelong Steeler fan if the Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl.
And the worst part about it is I've been a Steeler fan even longer than you have.
Well,
I rooted for Kenny Anderson's Bengals against 49ers. I rooted for Boomer in the Bengals again.
I remember rooting for the Boomer team, yeah.
I feel bad rooting for Joe Burrow because I feel like I curse the Bengals because when I root for them, they lose.
That's true.
But we'll find out. Maybe they'll be 0-3, but maybe they'll bring the first one back to Cincinnati. Time will tell.
I mean, they're not going to, but.
What is it, 4.5 now, or is it 4? I can't remember.
About,
I know
it opened at 4. I haven't looked again since.
But I got them covering because they have them winning. So there you have it.
Still 4.
So the public isn't moving it up whatsoever.
I think there's a lot of people really liking the Joe Burrow swag, and
they just have the feeling of that team that they're going to come out. It's going to be like if they win, it's going to look like that Kansas City game, right? They're going to come out. They're going to start slow. They're going to look sloppy and just find a way. They're going to make some weird either turnover on downs or interception or something's going to happen. They'll get a little momentum. And that's one thing with this team. That's what you watch for. When they get on a roll, they roll and it sticks. You saw it in the second half against Kansas City. You saw it all throughout the year. That team could look bad. I think back to the Raiders game way back, right? Not the playoff game, the regular season game.
Where they gave up 9 sacks and still won.
Yeah, just roll. So I'm looking forward to this one. I might even stay sober for it. I'm that interested.
I'll be sober at least till kickoff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Until high noon, you will be sober.
High noon.
Did you ever watch that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So,
Gary Cooper.
I didn't know. I'm not familiar with Mr. Cooper's oeuvre. Now, hanging with Mr. Cooper, I know a thing or two about that.
That was the theme song. Started out hanging it with a Mr. Cooper.
You sure about
that?
It
was like real weird. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I wonder if somebody can pull it up.
Weirdos. You got the weirdo part nailed down.
You know, I've been watching a lot
new
of lately.
Venture.
There's some oddball station on the DirecTV now that just plays Who's the Boss nonstop. I can't quit watching it.
I never did watch it.
Why?
Because it's stupid.
Why? Sam Maselli, that was my first love. It's a shame she's gone all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs now. But
yeah. Oh, is that
Alyssa Milano?
Yes. Okay.
And she's like a whack.
That was
now.
One with what, Tony Danza and her and
Judith
the
Light.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I take it back. I probably watched an episode or two.
You should. I watched about 46 of them last weekend.
Well, yeah, but you were her age, right?
Yeah, right on the exact same age. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So that was my first love.
Hey, you know, guilty as charged. I watched Charlie's Angels, and it wasn't for the plot.
Gross. I just got a mental image.
Why? What was wrong with them?
Just a tube sock you could drive a nail with.
See, when he's sitting there as a 10-year-old talking about Alyssa Milano, it's supposed to be cute and wonderful.
Right.
And I talk about adult women that actually were very good-looking women on the show, you turn it into some weird thing. There we go. The weirdo part's nailed again.
My mind was a true American love story. Yours was just gross. I can't believe you would admit that on the air. Christ, kids
listen to this.
What, did
I like women? Gee, sorry.
No, the other part about the sock. That's disgusting.
I think that was
shame on you.
You coming
shame
up with
you.
More of your doggy door porn that you watch.
I found a new one, by the
way. Fido Comes Home? I don't know.
This one I don't...
And it was Timmy and Fido, right?
I don't know why this intrigued me so much.
I have no idea.
But the title is, I only found 3 or 4 of them. I need to do a deeper dive. I just happened across this one in my show
no
research.
No pun intended, right?
It's called Call Your Wife. All right.
Call her what?
No. Okay. Call your wife.
I'm listening.
And so a gentleman and a young lady will have a play date, if you will. They appear to be in like a Motel 6 or something, you know, something classy like that.
That has a playground
right
outside.
Yeah. And so
Tom Baudette leads the light on for him.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're having their play date, and you think it's just your normal standard tryst, if you will, right? And things happen, kind of the prerequisites to, you know, kind of like the pregame shows happen. And
the twist, like Chubby Checker.
And right before the young lady gets to performing the national anthem, if you're following where I'm going, she all of a sudden stops, pulls out her phone, says, all right, call your wife. And the gentleman invariably will say, now this is new. This is the twist for us viewers, right? Well, we thought these two were married. I wasn't familiar. This gentleman was betrothed. And so you think, well, that's odd. And he says, well, what do you call my wife? Just call her and check in on her. And so then that's the gimmick. In order for her to continue with singing the national anthem, he's to call the wife and just chat about what to pick up from the store and why he's working late and that, why the national anthem's going on. And I don't know why. I found this endlessly intriguing.
In other news,
all the disgusting stuff I talk about and that I watch, this is what disgusts you two Puritans? I don't understand it.
It didn't disgust me. It was just...
it's intriguing, right?
It's different and weird.
Oh, the police blotter is back.
We're heading to real news now, mister.
Oh, I got news. We had a producer, you could have faded that out instead of just stopping
your boy. Alvin Kamara got arrested.
I saw this. Pro Bowl. Did you see the picture come out just a little bit ago? You should see the other guy.
Yeah. Oh
my God, it looks like he got hit by a dump truck.
It was Alvin Kamara and others.
Oh, and et al.
Beat this guy.
Like eight other guys or something like that?
Like, I mean, who was it? Andre the Giant? I mean, gee whiz. I mean, why would it take that many guys to beat this poor guy up?
Why is Alvin Kamara the only one who got pinched?
Oh, everybody else.
They get no?
Just nobody cares about Joe Schmo. They like Alvin Kamara.
Well, yeah, that's the headline.
I've been waiting for the video to come out because it's coming soon.
There's got to be 50 of them from every angle. It'll look like the Super Bowl broadcast.
But, you know, according to Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, the alleged victim, you know how he's alleged.
Alleged.
You know, his head's cracked open, but he's just alleged victim. Told police he met Kamara's party at an elevator at a nightclub at 6:30 in the morning, obviously going for an early breakfast.
Well, they were in Vegas. I mean,
just going for breakfast,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Kamara, who interviewed with police before his Sunday arrest, told police that the alleged victim called one of his friends ugly.
Oh, you can't do that.
No.
You got to defend a friend's honor. I'm sure he's a dashing gentleman.
Per the report, Kamara put his hands on the man's chest to prevent him from joining them on the elevator. Then the man pushed Kamara's hands off him.
Oh, you don't do that. Mm-mm.
The man said he was then pushed and that one of the men in Kamara's party punched him. Kamara didn't throw the first punch, according to the report, but he joined the others in beating the victim.
Oh, when in Rome, right?
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
So the only thing out now is the police are saying that the video confirms what the alleged victim has been saying the whole time.
Right. Yes. Well, it's kind of like the Ray Rice video. I mean, it's kind of...
Right.
She ain't lying.
Right.
It's just a matter of who and to what degree.
Exactly.
I never understood that instinct, right? Like, your buddy's in a fight, he's winning, so you just start stomping and swinging. Why? I think he's got this. What are you doing?
The thing is, okay, say the three of us are getting on an elevator.
All right.
Some guy comes in and says, hey, man, that flat-top asshole with which we use ugly. And I say, yeah, so? I mean, you know, why would I...
Wait, is that referring to me?
Well, I don't see any other shaved heads.
Yeah, now I'm hurt. Go Kamara on him, Finkelstein. I'm going to call Mitch. He's going to Kamara that ass.
Me and Mitch like that, buddy. Yeah. No, but seriously, I mean, if somebody called you ugly or vice versa...
It would be hard to argue. First of all.
Well, yes, we do have voices.
The man has a point. Faces for radio.
We have faces for radio. We get it. But it's not the other guy's fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the one I never got.
That just irritates me. I mean, it's one thing if three of them said he's ugly and we're going to beat his ass. Well, okay, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, but just to say, hey, you're ugly, all right, well, you know. Each their own. What do you say, Rick? And you'd probably say, yeah, I am. But,
yeah, it's hard to argue. I mean,
oh, yeah? Well, you're beautiful.
See, that's a
inside
good
and out.
That's a good response. Yeah. I like that. That's a good one. I think that's a good place to take a break and go sell us some coffee. What do you think?
I think it's wonderful.
If I can find the ad. Where'd it go? Everything came undone. I don't know what happened here. Hold on. This is show business on the show. All right, now I found that joker. So we come back. Well, it looks like you got a lot of papers over there. So I'm guessing Rick Briggs has some type of excitement coming back in. And I have things that are irritating me I'd like to get to. All that and more right after this.
Let's talk about our sponsor, Dead Sled Coffee. Dead Sled Coffee strives to create a culture of acceptance and respect no matter what your level of coffee knowledge is. They are distinguished coffee for the exceptional and unconventional. They offer amazing products that do not require your dictionary or your atlas to appreciate. Feel comfortable ordering their coffee and know that it is not a crime if you do not know where the beans came from or where it was processed. They have done all the work for you, having slurped and sniffed through endless cuppings, so you can just sit back and enjoy your coffee experience. Not sure what to try? Well, try some of their new signature blends, the Robert England blend, the Kiss blend, and the Cypress Hill blend. Go to deadsledcoffee.com. Use the promo code DEADSLED15 and take 15% off your order. deadsledcoffee.com. And hey, tell them Fligger and Briggs sent you.
That's right. And to piggyback off that, we just got an email that they wanted us to pass along that up until Friday, you can get a full-pound bag of the morning blend. That's the coffee that started it all for Dead Sled for 40% off. So get on there and order some morning blend, because that is the one that started deadsledcoffee.com. So get on there.
Isn't morning blend a little redundant?
Why?
Isn't that when you're supposed to drink coffee?
It's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Dead Sled
Spooky.
Coffee.
Spooky. Ooh.
They are witty.
Yeah, they are. They're good with the puns, those guys.
And we could actually throw witty in with the It Chapter 2 licensed coffee. Witty.
I like it.
Chapter 2 licensed coffee.
Yes.
Is that Chapter 2 of the movie or Chapter 2 of the coffee?
Yeah,
was there
the movie.
Was there a Chapter 1 of the coffee?
There actually wasn't, I don't think. So they must have missed out on that one.
Yeah, well, maybe they can make up for it.
Well, it was an old movie.
Right, but they just remade it.
Well, yeah, but it's still an old movie, and you don't remake the good ones. I mean, that's just stupid.
Fair.
So you remake the bad ones?
Why not? You can always improve on them. It's kind of like taking Tombstone and redoing it. What would be the point, you know?
I actually went to a movie just a couple weeks ago.
And what was it?
They redid Scream, and I went and saw it, and I enjoyed it.
They redid it?
I didn't know they did that.
It was basically, they just called it Scream, right? It wasn't Scream 86 or whatever it was. And it was pretty much followed the formula of the first one, but they acknowledged they were doing that throughout. It was kind of wacky. I enjoyed it.
Interesting.
I mean, it was formulaic. You knew exactly what was going to happen 15 minutes before
it
happened.
Every slasher movie is like
that. But it was fun to watch. They killed off some of the old characters. Spoiler alert. It was good.
Wasn't the first one? That's one with Drew Barrymore lasted about 10 minutes
in
the movie. Yeah,
10 seconds pretty much. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, but for whatever reason, she got top billing.
No. Well, because of the Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Never got the Drew Barrymore thing.
Because she was related to John and Lionel Barrymore is why.
Yeah, how are John and Lionel Barrymore?
They were like the...
Her parents.
No, they were grandparents.
That.
Grandparent. John Barrymore is a grandfather, and Lionel was the great uncle. They were, royalty. You know, actors back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, that kind of thing.
See, that was before I was born.
So?
Ditto. You're old.
So? It was before I was born. It doesn't really matter.
That's not true.
Debatable.
I got your debatable.
So what's in that fat stack of paper you have there?
Well, there are certain things that make me angry, too.
Cool. So we're just going to purge it here today.
Why not?
All right, let's have at it.
We could end with that if you wanted to, because
okay. We're
supposed to be getting into spring training.
That's what they say.
And, of course, we're not going to. And we had a couple of cool stories that Alejandro sent me the one. Where did you find that anyway?
What? RedTube.com.
No, it was XTube.
Oh, yeah. X-Hamster. That's a thing.
X-Hamster.
Eskimo.
No, that was on the AP.
Okay.
The app.
Yeah. The app for app.
Yeah, the app.
App.
Yeah. About...
No testing.
Yes. None. Isn't that coincidental?
Oh, there's no steroid testing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
Now that we're going to have a strike and baseball is yet again dying, let's see if we can bring back home runs again and save our sport.
That's all they do is hit home runs. That's why the sport stinks right now.
But anyway, I figured since we're
actually,
not going to have baseball.
Actually, that's funny. That's foreshadowing. You actually hit on one of the things I was irritated about.
Well, of course, because baseball is so irritating.
Yeah. It wasn't this one specifically, but we'll get into it.
Okay, that's good. But anyway, I wanted to give you guys a quiz.
Oh, I'm good at math.
Now, there are 9 guys on a baseball field.
Correct.
In each position.
True.
Each False. Position gets, you know, gets a golden glove.
True.
You know, the winner. I'm going Fact. To go position by position. I want to see if you can guess the player from that position that holds a record for the most gold gloves won.
Oh, this is fun. All right.
Yes. Are you ready, Alejandro?
I'm ready.
Let's start with the pitcher. Do you know what pitcher holds the record for the most gold gloves?
Nolan Ryan.
Trat. That's who I was going to go with. Randy Johnson.
Greg Maddux.
Greg Maddux.
Oh. 18.
I was going for longevity.
He has 18. Jim Cott has 16. Okay, catcher.
I got about 4 guys in my head. I'm trying to narrow it down. Pudge Rodriguez.
That's who I was going with.
Yeah.
He
doesn't know another catcher.
What's his face from the Giants?
Yeah, what's his face from the Giants?
No, what's
Buster
his
Posey.
Face is third. It says right here, what's his face? Now, who did you say? I'm sorry.
Buster Posey.
No. We will get, for Mr. Fleeger.
Hell yeah.
13.
What?
I'm 13.
I'm a seam head, baby.
Yes, indeed.
My next guess is going to be Molina.
That'd have been a good one.
First base.
Oh, this is
I'm
tough.
Going first. Albert Pujols.
First base. So many guys moved to first base later.
Yeah, but see, that should tell you something. You know, this is all time, so if they played outfield, you know.
Oh, you're counting those as well?
No.
Oh, you're not.
That's what I'm saying. They probably didn't play that many years at first.
I think he's right, but I want to do something wacky. I'm going to be a coward. It's Albert Pujols. I know it is. Damn it.
Keith Hernandez.
Oh, get out of
11.
Here.
11.
I almost said Don Mattingly. I thought about him.
He was wrong, too.
Is he on the list?
I don't have the list. I just have the
Here's
the
my made-up facts.
Is any of this even verifiable?
I'm just making shit up.
All right, good.
It is by Manny Randhawal, at Manny on MLB.
Oh, at Manny. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just a list of the record holders. They had a list, but I didn't want to go through every position, the top 10 for you knuckleheads. All right, second base, all time.
Nah, it wouldn't be him. Pat Mahomes would be a funny answer, but that's not it.
Wouldn't be that funny.
Wouldn't be mildly amusing.
Mildly humorous.
Yeah. Ryne Sandberg.
Craig Biggio.
Oh, damn it. He got me. Damn it. I thought you had
Roberto Alomar. 10.
Yeah.
Okay. He won 10 gold gloves in 11 seasons.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I think that's solid numbers.
Yeah. And he spit on an ump.
Third base.
Third base.
I know I'm going to get this one wrong.
Well, you know?
Yeah, Ken Caminiti.
Ken Caminiti? How did you get there?
Oh, I should have gone Jeff Bagwell for first base.
That'd have been a good one. He's wrong, too, so what's the difference?
I don't think he played. I'm going to go off the off the wall here. Dale Murphy.
Oh.
Damn it.
That'd Brooks be... Robinson.
Yeah.
16. Shortstop.
Ozzie Smith.
Cal Ripken Jr.
For Mr. Fleeger.
Woohoo! Oh. Twofer, baby.
Yeah, man.
Seamhead.
Left field. Oh, and Ozzie had 13. Mm. Left field. The career most gold gloves for left field is 8.
So 8 gold gloves in left field. The outfield's harder, right?
Yes.
There's so many guys. I'm not even sure I can tell you who all was in which. Left fielder. It's not, but it's the only one I can confirm was a left fielder. Barry Bonds.
Eight seasons in left field.
8 gold gloves.
Or 8 gold gloves. Sean Casey before he went to first base.
Sean Casey.
For Mr. Fleeger.
Did I do it again?
Barry Bonds.
Hell yeah. Wow.
Look at you.
Look at him
go. I am a seam head.
You do know this.
Do you realize if you get the last two correct, you will be over 500?
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
I only have to get...
I hope you're not cheating and looking it up.
I would never do such a
thing. I think
he is.
Alejandro, I think he's cheating.
No, I think I see a hamster on his glasses.
Ex-hamster, if you will.
Center field.
This is easy.
You think it's easy?
12.
I'm guessing he has his own shoes.
He has his own shoes?
Well, just say the name instead of being so cryptic.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, he played long enough.
Although Mike Trout's got to be getting close.
Is he a center fielder?
This isn't multiple guess either. You got one answer. That's it, pal. Mitch?
All right. Can I go to the judges for a moment? Do I get a question? Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you know how long the Gold Glove Award goes back? Has it been around for most of the history of the
yes.
league? Then it's Willie Mays. Oh. Hell yeah, baby!
And right field, again, is 12.
Okay, right field, 12. Did he play enough years? I'm going to go in with it. Roberto Clemente.
Ichiro.
Oh, that's a good answer.
I think Mr. Fleeger is cheating because it is Roberto Clemente.
Hell yeah, I'm over 500.
Yes, you are. 5 out of 9.
Five,
not bad.
5 and 4.
I'm proud of you.
I think I got 0.
You
yeah, I'm
nothing.
Pretty sure you did get nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
That's an upset.
Cool. Hey, we're playing golf rules. I win.
Yeah.
If by golf rules you never made it out of the clubhouse.
Glug, glug.
Still sitting there chugging beer.
Yep.
Should we sell sandwiches?
I think so.
I'm excited. I think we end the show. This is probably the biggest upset in history.
Yeah, that's up there.
You should give me kudos. You're just looking at me. Can you say that?
I don't think.
Why not?
What is it? Isn't that a derogatory term?
Very.
Oh, not to me. I would just assume.
Do me a favor. Write down the time at which he said that, and I'll save his waning career. Good Lord. All right.
I remember that now.
All right.
Full Metal Jacket come to mind
at
all?
Yeah.
Actually not. It was Gran Torino.
Oh, that's yeah, right. There you go.
All right, less insensitivity, more funny coming up right after this. Good God.
We would like to take this opportunity to tell you about our sponsor and friends, The Chop Shop in Butler, Pennsylvania. The Chop Shop is leading the way in the Western Pennsylvania area for good eats. With fresh menus, great specials, in-house made desserts, and the recently added iced tea, lemonade, and milkshake bar, you are sure to find something to fulfill that craving or hankering, and even a little something extra for that sweet tooth. Yep, they even have gluten-free and vegetarian options as well. You know, between Facebook, Google, Yelp, and TripAdvisor, they average 4.7 out of 5, and that's over a 10-year span, so they are consistently killing it. You can check them out on Facebook, but also at chopshopbutler.com. Or do yourself a favor and visit them at 108 North Main Street, Butler, Pennsylvania. And tell them Fleeger and Briggs sent you.
You people are never going to get to hear what Rick Briggs said before the break, but I really wish you could. And to think, we used to do this show live. I wonder why we don't anymore.
Because you don't let me.
That's right. And for good reason. I don't want you to get canceled.
Actually, that would never happen live. It never happened before, ever.
Oh, no, never. Speaking of Chop Shop, you don't know where your boy procured a lunchtime catering service for at his day job tomorrow.
Let me think a minute.
Subway.
Chop Shop.
Chop Shop, baby.
Man, I'm still over.
I am butt-sized for this. You go to the Chop Shop, they give you three or four sandwich options. They salad, and that's no good. But they always bring some kind of desserts. And
poutine?
What I like. No poutine. Yeah. No poutine. They don't do catering level. I mean, I think I may order just, hey, bring me some poutine there,
Billy. I was going to say, pull them celebrity strings.
Yeah, that's what I think I need to do. But my favorite part is they do this at every chain restaurant in the world, but they don't do it right like the Chop Shop does. It's nothing better than just a homemade potato chip. And when I tell you they bring three or four trays of food, and then find a dump truck, load it with these homemade potato chips, and just dump them at your door. You are swimming in these things for 17 days after the event. It's fantastic, and I can't wait. I am going to be – I'm going to have a sour tummy by the end of the workday tomorrow.
That'll match your disposition.
True.
Sometimes I like to put the chips in the tub and just sit in them and eat casually.
Yeah, just roll about.
Bread yourself.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I cannot wait.
Then you can jump in a vat of hot grease. And
that sounds like a good weekend.
You know, one thing they do, I'm sure it's tremendous, but it's lost on me, is the Reuben. I can't do sour cream.
I love Reubens.
I love corned beef, but sauerkraut just...
Reubens are probably my favorite sandwich.
Because they'll do that. They do their buttermilk fried chicken sandwich, which is my go-to. And then, of course, they bring the internal damnation, which I won't eat the bread on those. I just, like, take my finger and pull the pulled pork out of them and put them back after that. Because I don't want to take more than my share of sandwiches.
Well, makes sense.
True.
I'm nothing if not classy.
Yeah, you are classy. There's no doubt about that.
Always thinking of others first.
Speaking of thinking of others, what makes you angry? I'm thinking of you.
Well, let's go back since we've identified that I'm a seamhead, right? I mean, that became
true.
That became
a baseball whiz.
Yeah, that became clear last segment. Something else became clear last segment, but certainly the fact that I'm a seamhead did as well. Looking at the Hall of Fame situation. And now another one has passed, and no Barry Bonds, and no Roger Clemens. Let's think about something here for a minute. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame is theoretically, they hold themselves as kind of the most prestigious, right? It's the oldest sport. It's in the nubbiest town, even nubbier than Canton. You have a Baseball Hall of Fame in the United States and America. And when you go there 100 years from now, I mean, you'll be 99 years dead, but when I go there 100 years from now and I walk around, the all-time hits leader in Major League Baseball,
right,
the all-time home run leader in Major League Baseball, and the man who won the most Cy Young awards in the history of Major League Baseball are nowhere to be found.
And
no mention of
them. And the man who has won the most gold gloves for a left fielder.
There you go. This is a completely and utterly illegitimate Hall of Fame.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't really think it's a secret any longer. It's nothing but a bunch of stodgy,
right,
uppity that still try to hold baseball up as some national pastime, which it isn't any longer. It's not. I mean, yes, it's a good summer pastime. But it's not like, in fact, I saw a graphic just the other day. I think it was a 1959, I think, World Series. And it was the Dodgers. And it must have been the first year they was in Los Angeles, I think. I think late 50s, 60s, something like that. 92,000 fans. A record that still stands for the World Series.
92,000
people.
Where was this at?
Los Angeles.
In Dodger Stadium? It holds that many?
Apparently they had added...
Good Lord.
It was, yeah. I mean, I saw an Aerial.
They had scaffolding in the outfield?
It must have. I just saw an old black and white aerial photograph, and it said, you know, a record that still stands.
Wonder if they played it in the Coliseum or something.
Could have
been. I
just
can't see how you could make 92,000.
They may not even have had Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, it might not have been
then.
Built yet at that time. Yeah,
that's true.
He's Googling feverishly, so we'll have an answer by this time.
Tomorrow, yeah. But it is. It's a joke. There's no question about that. You can't. You know, the things that they used to make these players heroes about, now they're scourged forever.
Right.
You know, it's well, you know, it was steroids. They cheated. Well, of course. But baseball knew what they were doing. It saved the sport.
And it wasn't even theoretically against the rules when most of these guys started doing it.
Right.
And even if it was, let me tell you, as somebody who was most into baseball during that period of time, that was like my waning fandom, you know, through your early teens,
right.
You know, you're always a fan. And that's where it was waning. That's when I was getting into college and such and all that was going on. I couldn't give a shit less that these guys were using steroids.
No.
And here's the other thing. Here's what bothers me about Pete Rose specifically. This has always been my argument for Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is not owned by Major League Baseball. I assume it's true, right? It's proven enough where I accept that Pete Rose bet on baseball and on his team while he was managing the Reds.
Right.
So him being banned from Major League Baseball is perfectly reasonable.
Sure.
And I accept it. Major League Baseball doesn't own the Hall of Fame.
No.
You cannot write the history of baseball without talking about Pete Rose. There's a separation between the MLB and the Hall of Fame. This is my problem with the Pro Football
Hall
of Fame.
And he bet on baseball when he was a manager.
Right.
He had a Hall of Fame player career. How do you – it's like just wiping away history. Yeah. It's kind of like Babe Ruth never played, Hank Aaron never played, or whatever. It's like he never played baseball.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
No. It's absurd. And this is why I don't care for the Pro Football Hall of Fame anymore. And as you know, we need to look on the walls here. We spent a lot of time out there.
Right.
But you could see gradually year over year where the NFL was taking over the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It used to be its own entity. It was smaller. It was more intimate. It was now the big money got involved and the NFL got involved. Now it is becoming the NFL Hall of Fame. And I want nothing to do with it. It's so corporate and awful now.
Just go back to the short time ago, a decade ago, when we started covering it for some of the various networks that we work for. It was a small, basically high school football stadium.
Right.
We parked in people's yards and threw them a 20 spot, you know, to park there all day and all night and everything. And it was cool. You got close to the players. It wasn't some Super Bowl atmosphere.
Right.
Now, all those houses are gone.
Yeah, they just bought all the houses.
They bought them up, tore them down, and they turned a stadium into a stadium, let's put it that way.
A mid-level SEC stadium they built there.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's a carnival instead of, like you said, an intimate sort of private. You actually, like when we first covered it, about the first 3 or 4 years, you actually felt privileged. Because there really wasn't that many people there.
No, there really weren't.
You know,
and Media Day was in a high school auditorium.
That's
where this happened. And for the post-game interviews, you had to wait and interview the players back on the field because it was that same shack that they had for locker rooms that your local high school had. The only thing that set this thing apart is it held 15 or 20,000 people instead of the 2,000.
Yeah, when we first go there, you run into Terrell Davis coming out of the bathroom that everybody had to use.
Ran headlong into him.
I'm sitting at a table talking to John Clayton because we're elbow to elbow and there's nobody else there to talk to.
Right.
So, but now it is just a show, and that's all it is, because it makes them money. The machine is grinding out more revenue.
And that's the thing. But back to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Number one, you're illegitimate. Number two, all of these Halls of Fame, I don't know who should do the voting? Because I assume sometime in my lifetime, maybe when I'm butt old like you, some veterans committee is going to put in Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Pete Rose, right? So it's these baseball – we need to take them out. There's guys – they just released – this is what brought it back to my mind, because this story is several weeks old now. But this is what brought it back to my mind is the media members who are willing to release their ballots today so you could see who did what. And there's a plethora of guys, to include one that's local to us, Ron Cook. I can't stand this stodgy old – he makes you seem pleasant. He's an old Pete – Post-Gazette sports writer. Now they gave him some awful talk radio show in the morning, and he's just miserable. And like I said, he makes you seem like a freaking bowl of sunshine. This guy's so miserable. He voted for nobody. Really? And you know who else? He voted for nobody last year, the Mariano Rivera year. You don't vote for Ortiz, and you're still holding out Barry Bonds. Why are we letting these old stodgy assholes be the gatekeepers to the history of baseball? It's ridiculous. I don't know who should do it, but we got to get these guys out, because it becomes, for the young guys, it's about clout, right? I'm going to do something wacky because I'm going to go viral. And then you got the old Rick Briggs of the world who are holding everybody out. You know,
that's the thing. I mean, you make jokes about me and everything.
I do that. Yeah, that's kind of my
thing. The thing is, it's not old, because, I mean, I want Pete Rose in. I want Barry Bonds in. It's this old attitude that this sport is still full of integrity and, you know.
Then take Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth out of it if it's about what kind of person you are. How about that?
Exactly. That was just getting back to that. Babe Ruth was an American hero being a drunk during Prohibition.
Right.
Okay. You know, because he could hit home runs.
And every account of Ty Cobb I read, he should have been in the penitentiary, not in Major League Baseball.
He was a bad man,
though. That's what they say, yeah.
I mean, he was rough,
but
buddy.
But now integrity matters? Really?
No. Yeah. I mean, Elvin Kamara got nothing on Ty Cobb. No. He's going to climb up in the stands and beat people up and go back and get a hit.
So don't give me that song and dance that only men of integrity belong. It's the same reason Terrell Owens had that year in between and had that big snort fitting in football. It is stupid.
And going back to your point about, you know, maybe they'll get in as old-timers or whatever, you know, it brings back to mind one of the first couple of years that we went to the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I got to talk to Claude Humphrey, you know, who was back in the 60s and in the 70s from the Falcons, who got in, and rightfully so. But he even brought up the point, with the way the stats are going, you know, every record just always getting broke, he says that the guys, you know, so many of the guys, and now we're starting to talk about guys from 70s, 80s, even into the early 90s, they're going to be overlooked because all these circus numbers. Oh, well, look at his stats. You know, and he didn't win any titles and so forth. And that's how a lot of this stuff is measured at. Even though the game has changed so much, you know, a lot of the older guys that have really, you know, stood out in the sport, whatever sport it is, and, you know, they're going to get overlooked because, you know, look at Drew Brees. You know, Matt Stafford has more passing yards than whoever, you know, back. Well, of course he does.
50 other guys who are in the Hall of Fame by the time we get there. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, but it is a joke. And baseball is a ridiculous entity anymore.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, overall, awful. He's got something shiny on his computer over there. Did you find something?
It was, in fact, the Coliseum.
Ah, see.
Okay.
I noodled it.
But I was looking at all the different ways that they set up the baseball field in there. And in the 58 World Series, right field was 440 feet.
Right field.
Center field, 420. And left field, 251 at the foul line.
Ooh,
that's
boy.
Awesome. I love it.
That's how they cram that many people in there.
That's what you do.
That's still a lot of people.
Did you see what they did in the L.A. Coliseum last weekend?
No.
They built a paved racetrack, a quarter-mile racetrack, and ran a NASCAR race there last weekend.
A quarter mile?
Only a quarter. Very small. They didn't have the full field. It was the Bush Clash, I think they call it. It's like always like their preseason event. They do the week. It's just a money race.
God, how'd you like to be a driver on that thing? You'd be so drunk, dizzy.
Oh, and the things wouldn't turn at all. They wouldn't stick. It was the most ridiculous. But picture this, all right? NASCAR, and they kept telling you. This is how you knew they were doing it. They kept telling you NASCAR's changing their image. So they're coming to L.A. with the glitz and glamour, and they build a racetrack in L.A. Coliseum. And then at one point, all right, so they're running the race. It was a short race, and it, like I said, it wasn't 43 cars. It was very selective, and they had heats and got it down. I don't think they ever had more than 18 cars on the track at a time, which still pretty much filled it the whole way around.
Right.
Anyhow, so they go through. I can't remember exactly how long it was. Say it was a 100-lap race. At lap 50, they threw the caution flag, then threw the red flag, pulled everybody off the track. And then all of a sudden, up where that eternal torch is or whatever at L.A. Coliseum,
right,
out emerges Ice Cube, who does a concert for 15 minutes at the halfway point of a NASCAR race, and he does all the old stuff, right? And then he goes back in, they fire the engines back up, and they're racing. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Only in Los Angeles.
Only in Los Angeles. The weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
That was bizarre.
It was stupid racing, fantastic television, because you're watching this and nonstop just going, what? It was awesome.
That's nuts. I want to hit on a story, one of my favorite kind of stories.
Oh, your favorite, so somebody dead for
died.
A long time, yeah.
Message in a bottle story.
What is it with you at messages
I love
in a
them.
Bottle?
They're wonderful. And did you know on February 3rd, workers during renovations on a Scottish golf course made a surprising discovery, a 95-year-old message in a bottle buried in a bunker. The Golf House Club in Ely, which was established in May 1875, said workers were making improvements to the fairway bunkers on the ninth hole recently when they found a bottle buried in one of the hazards. I like this. I'm going to just kind of ease into the story a little bit better. The workers looked inside the bottle and found a message written on the back of a Craven cigarette package.
Craven? Is that a brand?
Well, in Scotland it probably is. The message was dated November 18th, 1926. It said, "We are here today, but where we will be when this is found, we do not know. Good luck." Rather profound, I must say.
Not sure it's that profound. It says basically said, "I don't know if anybody's ever going to find this or where I'll be when you do." What's profound about that?
But they're here today. See,
who's
that's
there?
The thing. Like right now. I mean,
they're probably dead.
Well, they are now,
maybe
but when
ghosts.
They wrote the note, stupid.
Well, yeah, they weren't dead when they wrote the note. I'm pretty well certain of that.
Thank you. That's the point. That moment what? In time was just as, you know, the same amount as it is now. But, you know, all this time's passed, and now the same guy's right
well,
there.
You did a lot of drugs in the 70s. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's because you have no depth of feeling.
Expand
or...
your mind, Craig.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, the guys working in the bunkers said that they were going to bury a bottle in the bunker.
All right.
Just
I'm sure
like they did.
Was it going to be that profound, as you say?
Hopefully.
What do you got there with all the numbers and stuff?
Well, it's the Olympic medal count.
Oh
God.
Why don't I – you know I have watched almost no Olympics. Why
and
don't
I
care?
I'm going to give you another quiz.
Oh, another quiz.
It's only a one-question quiz.
All right.
I bet you I go over.
So I can still – at worst, I'll be at 500 for the day. Is
yes,
this the last
right. yes.
of the quizzes? Because I want to dip below 500.
What, oh, I have one quiz.
What
I will abstain.
Country?
Okay.
Listen carefully. You too, mister.
I'm listening.
What country holds the record for the most total medals all time in Winter Olympics?
Most total records all time.
Total medals.
Oh, yeah, what'd I say, records?
Record, yeah. Most total medals of all time in Winter Olympics.
I feel like this is a trap.
It's a trap.
Trick.
I'm going to say it with authority. The USSR.
Do they get to do the wraparound USSR-Russia thing? Because that's what was holding me back from that one.
Yes. You can, yes. It's basically all the same.
but
I bet you they would beg to differ.
I'm going to go with our wacky neighbors to the north, O Canada.
For Mr. Finkelstein.
No!
Wait a minute. For Mr. Finkelstein.
No. Yes,
for
streak
Mr.
alive.
For Mr. Fligger.
Hell yeah!
No,
oh,
wrong.
You dick.
No, actually, it's Norway.
Norway.
Yeah. Wow.
I just wanted to get your eye all
excited. I was looking for my celebration music. We were going to party.
So let's do a quick little medal count as we speak right now. And leading the Olympics in Winter Olympic medals is...
He's reaching for something. What's he doing?
Uzbekistan.
Well, I knew what it was called, what it was, but I can't even... Russian Olympic Committee.
The Russian Olympic Committee.
They've got nine.
Nine.
They have zero?
Netherlands, Norway, and Austria have seven. Sweden, Italy, Canada, six. Slovenia, China, France, United States with five.
The U.S. taking the pipe right now. Well, you wait till we get to that fake X Game shit we made up 15 years ago. That's where the U.S. thrives.
That's right. All the useless stuff of riding skateboards and half pipes and all this other crap, you know. We'll get our medals, by God.
All right, one more thing before we get out of here. Did either of you do your homework? I did my homework.
I did not watch Righteous Gemstones yet.
Well, that was part of your homework.
No, I have to say I didn't either because I'm really into Reacher. Oh, that's good.
Heard that was supposed to be good.
Very good. You'd love it. It's a good show.
Is there a lot of wacky shtick?
No, a lot of death and fighting.
I need fat guys with their pants off.
Yes, I did do my other homework.
Okay, so you did do your other homework.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Well, I believe you made a declaration last week.
Indeed.
That cut 'em up season was upon us, and you agreed.
No, I didn't.
Wholeheartedly, and I saw the Twitter DMs. The audience is excited about this.
Yeah.
To make a line of workout videos.
In fact, all of a sudden now you're on Chris Gooden's side.
I didn't say whose side I was on. I just said the audience is clamoring.
All you do is bash that guy from where he's from.
Well, he's a Canadian Briggsophile. I have my questions. But you like to use him as the final authority on what is righteous and good on this show, and your boy's all in.
I told you, my man Dave is, waiting for us in radio heaven somewhere.
Right.
But, I got to hook onto somebody's bandwagon, but if he's going to jump on yours, I don't know.
My bandwagon. You agreed to do a line of videos, and he was excited about it. That's all I'm saying.
The production crew just wasn't ready.
So, but the first thing you got to do is come up with a name for the series. So I, as promised, came up with a few ideas. I believe Finkelstein has some ideas. So I think we storyboard them, and we'll let you have the final decision.
Okay. I like that. All right. And we actually did have one come in on,
We got a suggestion. All right.
In reference to the old Tim Conway Dorf on Golf, Briggs on Exercise.
Oh. Was that sent to whatsupwiththemdraws@yahoo.com?
No, I think that was your baboonass.gmail.
Your baboonass at
Gmail. Well, you have so many accounts.
We really need to figure out how to link all those. So it just goes to one.
Yeah, one centralized look. It would save Finkelstein a lot of time.
He gets banned somewhere, so then he just gets a new email account.
Yeah, they don't like my attachments in most of these places.
Do you want to lead off, Mr. Flieger?
All right, I'll start this off. So we'll go one I'm least confident with to the best. So this one feels kind of hacked.
So this is kind of like the old Washington football team thing.
We're just storyboarding. This one's hack. This one's easy. So I think it's a good place to start. Sweating because we're oldies.
Oh, I like that play on nostalgia.
See, that's what I do.
All right, I will see that, and I will raise you sweating into your prime.
Oh, a nod right to you, right to Rick Brigg.
Yeah.
All right, how about heart rate higher than his shorts with Rick Briggs?
I like that one.
That has potential.
I've got two more. I don't know how many you have over.
I only have one more worth a lick.
All right.
Primetime Sweat with Rick Briggs.
Sticking with the prime.
Yeah,
I mean, it's his thing, you know?
All right, so I got two more. Let's see.
I'm waiting.
We'll go From Treadmill to the Grave with Rick Briggs.
Shorts one still winning.
But here's the one. I think this one's my favorite. All right, so we're going to. My top candidate for the name of Rick Briggs' upcoming exercise VHS video program is Tape Them to Your Thigh, Then Let It Fly.
Nope, that's the winner.
Nah, I don't know.
You see, because I worry a man of advanced age and the pendulum effect, you know what I mean. So.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I got it. Yeah, I was just trying to think of something myself. You know,
I think we've got a winner, but I mean, you're welcome to give some input here.
Well, I mean, you know, you get fat eating a lot and thinking about food a lot, right? You know, and obviously not doing anything. So I got to thinking, well, you know, how about slathered and melted blubber?
That doesn't suck. But I think that's the before thing, though. I don't think you want to call your video.
No, melted blubber. I mean, you know, I'm melting away. You know, I'm burning the fat.
I like it. I like it. If we could just work old balls into that somehow, we'd have a complete
prime old balls.
Hey, I got another one. You know, kind of like how we sit around here during the show and we chew the fat, right?
Oh.
Chew on this.
That ties a little closer to mine than you're probably willing to admit. All right. I don't think it gets any better than that. Let's get out of here.
It's not going to get any better. It just devolved. And, quite frankly, maybe we'll talk about this later, but I'm just going to leave you with a thought.
Oh.
Because, you know, look, I'm an old guy.
Thought starters.
I'm an old guy. And
that's true.
You know, have listened to this man many, many years. But Neil Young's crazy.
He's awesome, though.
Why isn't there music playing yet?
Well, I was going to ask you one question.
Oh, well, then.
What button do I have? Is it the red one or a blue one?
Is it the big red one? Hey, who was the last defensive player to win a Super Bowl MVP?
Ooh, last defensive player, blah, 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 blah. Charles Woodson.
I think that's what I'm going with, too.
Give you a hint. He's in the Super Bowl this year.
Sherman?
Oh, Vaughn Miller. Trade.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't count because you just looked it up. You didn't know it.
My thoughts drift back to erect nipple wet dreams.
Whoa.
About Mary Jane.
But this is the year he finally puts it together.
It isn't. He sucks.
I don't know what's happening, so I'm just going to end the show here. I don't know
please,
how to pivot from that.
Let's do it.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how to pivot. So what do you think? Think we can pull off three in a row next week? I don't want to overpromise.
We're going to try.
All right, we'll give her a whirl. Next week, same time, same channel, at Chaos and Disorder on the Twitters, Chaos and Disorder Pod on Facebook, AsylumFantasySports.com to hear two shows in a row. Until next time, we'll see you.
Take care.
We got bold with that.
A little overboard, I would say.
See, after a low-key show like this, you'd think you'd end it low-key.
Yeah,
you
it goes all
hot.
Keith Moon on us here, you know?
Hasta luego.
Bye, horse.